Right now, here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio, it is time to bring in our good friend Brian Ross and Real News. And boy, do we have lots of real news. Good morning, Brian.
We do. It's some troubling news, as real news often is.
Yeah, and troubling on so many different levels. And because it's such a small world now, we get a chance to look at not only our troubling news, but world throughout the world, which now, because we're such a compact world, affects everybody. I guess I want to start off with what happened a couple of weeks ago with Nancy Pelosi's husband, and how it's led to a speech last night by President Biden, which was obviously political, but some authority in some party had to speak out and point out that what happened to her husband is really the major canary in a coal mine.
I think that's a good way to put it. For me, what's troubling is that the lack of real outspoken condemnation by leading Republicans. Many elected Republicans who are prominent have made jokes about it, have called it into question, which is just, you know, if you believe in what the police have to say, it's totally disgusting. We know what happened there. There was not a male prostitute going after Paul Pelosi. He didn't bring this on himself. It was a man who was crazed by the QAnon theories, who broke into the house looking for Speaker Pelosi, planning to kidnap her and then kneecap her and parade her before Congress.
It was so eye-opening. People have said to me, I thought that there's protection. Yes, there are protection for members of Congress, especially party leaders and leaders of certain things, but there is not protection 24 hours a day for their families for something like this happens.
Well, of course, as the Washington Post broke overnight, the story that they did have cameras there, the break-in was recorded, but no one was watching.
Yeah.
No one was watching, and I think there are a lot of questions that can be directed at the Capitol Police. You know, I've been around the leaders of the Senate and the House, and because they are in the line of succession in this country, they are given serious protection by the Capitol Police. Take it very seriously. It's Secret Service-like. But this is, I think, inexcusable that they have cameras there, but they don't monitor them. What's the point?
Here's the danger of this. There's crazy people on the on the progressive side and liberal side too. I mean, it just doesn't go with Donald Trump supporters, even though they seem more crazy just because they're out in view far more. But it sets a dangerous precedent, almost like a tit for tat thing that might develop. And this is just really, really bad news.
It really is. The president's speech directly dealt with that. I think the political wags who are talking about it aren't sure it really helped much in terms of the elections next week. Nevertheless, it was something that needed to be said.
Yeah, absolutely. The next thing I want to pop onto is, what happened overnight, North Korea testing missiles, this time going farther than they've ever gone, which is trying to send an intercontinental ballistic missile, which broke up and wasn't successful. But normally they don't plan things to go over a country. Well, that's what happened in Japan this time.
I know, and you know, the fishermen are heading to shore, the blaring and the taxis throughout Japan about the activities of North Korea. Is somebody going to try to put a stop to it? Does it just go on like this? It's a good question. It's a real challenge, certainly, for foreign policy in this country. I mean, how much of this do we tolerate?
Yeah, it's every country tests their weapons. There's no doubt about it. But they don't violate other countries' airspaces, because how do you know whether that's a test or not? You just don't know, especially when you have a leader like North Korea has.
Right.
To another hot spot in the world, and that is the Ukraine. Once again, to Americans here, it seems like things have quieted down. Of course, they haven't really quieted down there. The Ukrainians are really trenched in, and the Russians once again are doing what they normally do, which is going after the civilian population. The story that really broke, which was very interesting, was once again, the Ukrainians are redefining the stages of war when they sent another series of drones out, this time drones on the water, and once again attacked and actually damaged once again of some of the Soviet Union's or Russia's prize fleet.
Right. It didn't sink it, but it certainly showed their vulnerabilities. And, for a while, Russia pulled out of the deal to allow grain to be shipped out. They're back into it now. But the Ukrainians are showing the vulnerabilities of the Russians. There's a fascinating op-ed this morning in the Washington Post by Max Booth that goes into the Russian military doctrine and strategy, which is so terribly flawed, and their rigid structure just doesn't allow them to do what they need to do in this war. And they have no way to really pull out of it. They're so hidebound about how they operate, and that's just the nature of the Russian system. It goes back to the old Soviet system, everything from the top. And we read, that literally Vladimir Putin is calling battle developments from the Kremlin, which doesn't make any sense at all for anybody who knows anything about the military.
What's interesting about this is when we were in Vietnam, the Viet Cong went in tunnels. And fought like hell for their side in tunnels, and created a new type of warfare that we had not seen before. And I think now, with what the Ukrainians are doing to defend their homeland, not in tunnels, but with drones in the air and drones on the sea, and using so many of them, they really are changing the way I think a lot of big countries are going to look at their tactical way if they're going to get into some sort of combat with a country.
Right, and it's the mark of a good military if they're able to adapt to the latest generation of the kind of war, the asymmetrical war that Russia is now in against Ukraine in a way, although Ukraine has so much support, much more than anybody anticipated from U.S. and NATO. And one of the things to consider in the next election is to the extent that Kevin McCarthy, I guess soon to be the Speaker of the House, has said, and no more blank checks for Ukraine.
Yeah, it might be one of those things where he says it now, and then once it's time for, like he's done before, he changes the tune 180 degrees after he says something and makes a stand. It'll be interesting to see how the elections play out. There's a lot of close calls. It's hard to trust polling one way or the other. And it's going to be, I don't think anything's going to be totally decided on election night. I think there's going to be like four or five Senate races that are very close. I think the House is pretty much foregone conclusion. If the Democrats don't lose the House, that would be a major miracle. But I think, it's going to be a long night on the Senate side, I think.
It is, and I know that 1 week from today, there would be challenges by one side or the other, or both, in court, claiming irregularities. They've already got lawyers lined up, especially the Republicans seem to be skilled at playing the victim, and they're ready to go to court. And short of winning every single race, they'll find something wrong with it. And that's, it makes everyone very cynical about the elections.
Like I said, as crazy as it is, that is the one night where I actually will put on network news and watch and see what develops, because as a midterm election, this is about as important as midterms get, really. Now, you're right. There's so much at stake with the Supreme Court, with what's going on in Ukraine, with once again our reestablished connection with NATO. This could portend to a lot what might happen in the next 2 years after that.
Without a doubt, it's now some 40 million people have already cast ballots by mail or absentee, so they're not going to necessarily be counted right away. We may not know right away.
And that's why I don't trust the polls right away, because you just can't tell with so many pre people that have voted early, and you don't know how many people are going to turn out and vote on election day itself. So that puts, the other day I was talking about pollsters, and it's not their fault. The way the Americans vote and the whole process of social media has turned polling upside down, and it's not the fault of the pollsters.
And, what the politicians call the ground game. A lot depends on getting out the vote. A lot depends on the weather. What's the weather going to be like in our area next week?
Hey, well, actually, I think it's going to be warm and no rain the first, like, Monday and Tuesday. So
that should help turnout.
Yeah, it should. Well, we'll sit, watch, and wait, Brian. It's always great to talk with you.
There'll be much to talk about next Thursday, Marshall, for sure.
All right, take care, Brian.
Okay, bye-bye.
Brian Ross and Real News here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.